Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We need your help. Roswell, step up. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thank you guys for being here. We are at Loyal Tavern in Roswell, guys, Canton Street. And it's been an awesome day. And thank you guys for coming out and hanging out with us. We got a lot more to get to this hour. Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is going to join us. Mike, great conversation with our buddy David Pollock earlier today.
And by the way, we'll play a little snippet later on. But David thinks it may be a high-scoring game. Unless the rain is a factor, could get some showers rolling to Athens. Neither team has shown the ability to really sack the quarterback. Both teams have the vertical passing game. So the over-under maybe goes over 60.
Yeah, I keep looking at this, and we'll talk to Mike about it. If the defenses are ineffective in getting pressure, both of these offenses are very capable of putting up points. We know that. And I'm not going to say it's going to be a repeat of Tennessee.
Right.
But you could see more scoring than we anticipate. We'll talk to Mike coming up here in about 15 minutes. Mike Griffith for Dog Nation. As far as the Falcons are concerned, guys, this has been one of the most interesting weeks, to say the least, in a long time. You come off of a very impressive win on the road against Minnesota, only to lay an egg against Carolina in an embarrassing 30-0 loss. And now you've got everyone, Falcon Nation, Falcon fans across the country, and even people who just watch this team casually going, what the hey is going on? What team is going to show up? What is the problem? And then, as the week gets started, you have a coach fired in Ike Hilliard. You have the offensive coordinator, as the head coach makes a move to say, hey, you're going to bring him down to the field so he can have better communication with the quarterback, which is fine. But we weren't thinking about this before the season started, that Michael Penix was going to start his fourth, fifth, or sixth game of the season, you know, of his career. So it just has a lot of people wondering, are we moving in the right direction? Mike, here's the thing, though. If we come out and play Sunday, if we beat the Commanders, it will give people the confidence, I think, again, to say, all right, we haven't been fooled. What we saw with the Vikings was real because, guys, the defense has lived up to it. The offense has not.
I mean, you and I said this back in August, and I know it's a fool's errand to kind of look at the schedule and try to handicap it, but I think most Falcon fans felt if we went 2-2 to start the season, especially knowing that Drake London got banged up in week one and also that Darnell Mooney was banged up through all of camp, I'll take that. But I'm okay. 2-2 is fine. 1-3, it's almost, I know you can joke around. Yes, I did the math, Carl, just one more game. But it just seems like, uh-oh, things are trending the wrong way. Kyle Pitts was a full participant. Casey Washington, by the way, was back at practice today. So maybe he could be some secret sauce at some point, because I know we've talked about Darnell Mooney, who both coach and offensive coordinator Zach Robinson said, we're still ramping up because he never got to practice. So a little something to think about. James Pierce Jr. limited with the groin, but I think we expect him to do his thing. AJ didn't participate. I don't expect to see AJ Terrell today.
Yes.
But back to your initial question, guys, you're going to find a way. Jaden Daniels, this could be window dressing. It may be Marcus Mariota.
I agree. Look,
and I think it probably is Marcus Mariota.
Well, I said to Mike, if I'm Dan Quinn, and we know DQ pretty well, I'm not risking Jaden Daniels in week four of the season when I think I have a playoff team again, knowing how important weeks 10 through 15 are going to be, right? That's when you're setting yourself up, whether they're playing for home field or not, we'll know. Bottom line is, it's just so early. If I'm DQ, I'm not doing that. And you won last week with Marcus Mariota, Mike. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret. Commanders think they can come in here and win with Marcus Mariota on Sunday. They are not worried. You think they care about what we feel about Marcus Mariota one bit? They don't. They do not care that we feel like this dude quit on us in a situation that as you look back on it, was dysfunctional in its own right. But they don't care. They felt like signing him was a big part of what they wanted to do. Say what you want, Mike. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, has done a terrific job of assimilating him into this offense that it doesn't look that much different. He looks really good with him in there.
Right. Now, again, guys, where's the pass rush? I thought, you know, obviously Minnesota, we killed it. But then again, a lot of Falcon fans are saying maybe J.J. McCarthy is just not good yet, and he may not yet be an NFL starter. But, my God, we looked like a train wreck against Bryce Young and the Panthers. And the pass rush wasn't great, but you can't really fault the defense when you're flipping the field on a pick six and they're getting the ball in the 30. But, Carl, what if it comes down to a one-possession game? The special teams coordinator, Marquise Williams. By the way,
go ahead.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
If I was going to fire anybody, it would not be Ike Hilliard. I would have fired Marquise Williams because two of the 3 weeks our special teams are a disaster. We're getting the ball inside the 10-yard line. Penix is struggling. Doesn't he be in the shadows of his own goalpost? For what it's worth, Marquise Williams said both kickers, Parker Romo and Ben Sauls from Pitt, who spent his summer with Pittsburgh, have had strong weeks so far.
No word on who they're going to name as the
Correct.
Kicker.
Correct.
All right, so that's
– But if I was going to fire – and I apologize for just finally catching up to this, but in my mind's eye, if you're going to fire somebody, fire Marquise Williams. Don't fire the wide receivers coach when you got two wide receivers who are still banged up.
Yeah, special teams has cost us. There's no debating that. And when we say everybody's got to be better, I know the focus has been on the offense, but, you know, Pinion and that punt last week was terrible. You had Ray being ran into by Billy Bowman. Like that.
Terrible returns.
Yes, those mistakes can't be made. And I know that was kind of a miscue, but I agree with you. Here's the deal as far as injury update today. It's Dukes and Bell Live in Roswell, guys. Loyal Tavern is where we're hanging out. Kyle Pitts, full participant today, Mike. That toe, maybe he was limited. We've said this, guys. When we see these injury reports, a lot of times it's maintenance. It's not that they're going to miss the game. Maybe they're getting a little time off, getting a little recovery.
Right.
Kyle was a full participant today. DeMarco Helms, he has a hamstring. He was a full participant, along with Casey Washington.
I mentioned that earlier. So maybe he's finally back from that concussion.
Which would help. I mean, look, I think, as I said, there's a role for Casey. He's not going to be a star wide receiver for you. But, guys, there are guys that are role players in this league that step up week in and week out. And I really like what he did in camp and throughout camp and then in the first couple of games without Darnell Mooney in there. Meanwhile, James Pierce Jr. was limited
to groin. But, again, we mentioned that earlier. He's been dealing with that, I think going back to, like, probably the last week of the preseason. So, to your point, as you say in Texas, a groin rest. The only thing that's going to help that, like a hamstring. A.J. Terrell, I think you and I, not to put words in your mouth, I think we both figured they'd try to nurse him through the bye week.
Yeah. Out this week. I say out. It's not official. That's where I'm at. But he did not participate today. Guys, it's Friday. If you're not practicing on Friday, you're more than likely not playing on Sunday. Just kind of a rule of thumb, but we'll see. AJ is still dealing with that hamstring. If he misses, you get to the bye week, Mike. That gives you an extra week, and then you're talking about what? He's not been active basically for three
right.
weeks.
So if you didn't listen to our show yesterday, the buzz coming from camp and also nationally, a lot of heat on the Falcons. Everyone's seen the Dan Orlovsky video breakdown, and there's been others too on NFL Network where they said, you know, maybe the pistol isn't the right fit. Well, Michael Penix Jr. played in the pistol in Washington, but a lot of folks feel it kind of eliminates that play action. Even though, yes, Carl, hypothetically, you can fake a handoff out of the shotgun. When you're under center, your running back gets a little bit of a two-yard moving forward advantage to make a cut, and he can see things too. So I don't like the fact that they basically the Falcons talked down to the media this week in press conferences, in our interviews, when we asked about the pistol. When everybody around the country thinks the pistol is not a fit for the Falcons. And they're not going to move off it this week. You're not going to see any changes from Zach Robinson.
Look, if they run the ball like they did against the Vikings, we'll have a different perspective.
Are you?
If we run for 200 yards against the Commanders, and I don't know if we will.
Are you cool with a win no matter what, right, at this point?
Oh, no. Look, I got to win by 1 point, half a point. It doesn't matter. The problem is still going to be, though, as I said to you when we started the show today, a pick six, a scoop and score, and two field goals wins this game, and the offense still doesn't perform, we are still going to be in our back.
Right, like the Saints game.
But correct.
Remember the Saints game? When no one really talked about it. That was the Anderson pick six And remember, they had that screw
Troy
up.
Troy Andersen, yeah.
And they had the screw up on the punt. Remember, we got it inside the 5-yard line.
So, to win, yes. And look, I'm not a big style points guy. I'm just not. Like, I like to be entertained. But ideally, I'd like the offense to come out and score 28 points, okay? That's what I'd like to see.
Shut up the critics. Make Pettis look like he's dialed in.
That's what I'd like to see.
Go.
Yeah,
but then Zach Robinson knows what he's doing.
But if you're going to ask me Monday, well, Dukes and Bell, we won, but, you know, offense still didn't score a touchdown. Mike, I'm going to have a big problem. We are now 4 weeks in, going into the bye week with a real problem.
My thing is, whatever you're trying to do, just get your playmakers into position to beat one man. Carl, I'll die on that hill. Let Kyle Pitts beat a man one-on-one. Let, you know, Bijan Robinson in the flat beat a man one-on-one, as he did for that huge score against the Buccaneers in week one. Why haven't we dialed it down to simplicity? The question I asked Zach Robinson yesterday was, are we going to streamline things? They're not. He feels it's about execution.
404-726-0929. We're coming back. Mike Griffith is going to join us from Dog Nation. Big, big game in Athens this weekend. Alabama coming in against the Dogs. Both teams had a week off. What does Mike Griffith think about the key to this game? And it seems like there's so many things that could be a key. We're going to find out what Mike is thinking about this coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We got the best listeners in town.
Talking to Craig, man. Craig lives up here in Roswell. We were just reminiscing about some of our favorite Falcon moments, hoping to relive some of that. Hopefully we get back to it. Hey, man, what's going to happen Saturday in Athens? That's the big question. Alabama comes in. Alabama! And Mike Griffith is here from Dog Nation. Mike, what's your biggest concern about this game, man? Going into this game for Georgia, what's your biggest concern?
Well, from Georgia's perspective, I mean, obviously it's Ty Simpson's ability to have time to get the ball downfield to two really talented receivers. I mean, you know, we saw that, you know, Tennessee had some success going deep and the Georgia pass rush, you know, didn't land. And part of the reason they didn't land is because they had trouble stopping Tennessee on first and second downs and getting them in, you know, down and distance situations for third down. So I guess number one, I would say Georgia's ability to get a pass rush to prevent the types of explosive plays that got them beat last year at Alabama and could have got them beat at Tennessee. So that would be one. And then offensively, you know, Georgia's got to be able to establish a ground game. I mean, they're not going to win games with Gunnar Stockton, you know, throwing the ball 35 times. You know, they want a more balanced offense. They need the run game to be there to set up the play action. That's going to be their explosive play. You know, we know that their game so far has been very controlled. If you look at Gunner's yardage, passing yards, I think about two-thirds of its yards after the catch. So it's been a very short, efficient passing game for the most part. And so they're going to need the run game to set up the downfield throws, the explosive plays off of play action. So two things, Georgia's ability to rush the passer and Georgia's ability to run the ball effectively on first and second down.
Mike, we're going to talk to David Pollack earlier in the show. We're going to replay it tomorrow. We're going to be at Grindhouse on Lumpkin, guys, for Dog fans and Bama fans. Join the party in Athens. The question is, where's the pass rush? And I think, Mike, you can say for both teams, to your point earlier, both teams are not really getting after the quarterback, which could be maybe the over, a lot of passing.
Well, it just depends. I mean, you know, game circumstances change. I think most of us thought that Georgia-Tennessee would be a lower scoring game based on their previous meetings. And, you know, who knew that Georgia could score that much or who knew that Tennessee could score? I mean, Before that game, the previous three Tennessee quarterbacks didn't throw for 200 yards or a touchdown. Joey had 200 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Right.
You know, we have to be careful about, you know, assuming too much. I mean, you know, right when you think you know all the answers, you don't. I mean, who knows? Maybe this turns into a 16-13 slug. So I don't think so. But stranger things have happened in the SEC.
So, Kalen DeBoer, his senior tailback, Jam Miller, is he back Saturday? And what does that mean for them? And aren't they also getting their defensive tackle back? Are they going to be ready?
Well, I don't know the extent of Jam Miller's collarbone injury that took him out in the preseason. I think they said bruise, but you know, anybody's played football, played running back, you got a bad collarbone. That's not a good injury to have. I mean, you're taking on a lot of guys, and it's a lot of contact at that position. So, obviously, if he wasn't cleared, he wouldn't play. And if they didn't think he'd be effective, they're not going to hand it to him. So, obviously, he's shown them something, we think, because he's not on the injury report.
Right.
I don't think it changes anything for Georgia as far as how they're going to look to defend Alabama. On the flip side, with the defensive tackle, you know, they've got him as probable. But, you know, guys, we saw Brock Bowers and Tate Ratledge go through this here at Georgia, this tightrope surgery. And, you know, that 5 to 6 week window, you know, the soonest guys can get back. And when guys come back, they're not necessarily 100%. You're talking about a 330-pound guy coming back, you know, from tightrope. Now, who knows? Maybe his recovery was miraculous and he'll be 100%. But the fact that he showed up on the injury report tells me that he'll probably be somewhat limited. I don't know how much pain he can play through. I'm not sure, you know, exactly how effective he can be. But typically, that's a little early to come back from a tightrope and be at 100%, I would say. So I don't know that that's as much of a factor as maybe, you know, a month down the line for this guy.
Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Guys, we're live at Loyal Tavern here in Roswell on Canton Street. What a great crowd, Carl.
Yeah.
A lot of dog fans.
Yeah.
And the vibe here, Mike, are they going to rush? Are they going to blitz? I know, as Carl pointed out earlier, they really don't want to, you know, have to blitz. They want to get it from the down lineman. But only two sacks. I think it was Cole had the most. So where'd they get the heat?
Well, those guys are playing for the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles these days. I don't think there's five future first-round guys on this defensive line. Or
Mike Griffin, there is no pass rush, Carl.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said, you know, the days of, you know, being spoiled and saying you can get a rush with four guys and play pass coverage on the back end. I mean, that's just – that's not happening. It's really not happening for anybody. I mean, Oklahoma had 10 sacks. You know, let's see what they do against somebody else, but – You're not seeing any, you know, the talent is more spread out now. We've talked this NIL parity thing to death, but when we come up with questions like this, you know, that's the answer, right? I mean, the talent's more widely dispersed. Guys that, you know, could be number two and rotating in at Georgia are number one somewhere else. I mean, Jamal Jarrett's playing for, what, USC now? I mean, that's a pretty good defensive lineman, I'd say. And, you know, Damon Wilson's doing a pretty nice job rushing the passer for Missouri right now. So, you know, those are two guys that, you know, would have been in the program pre-NIL, you know, theoretically. So, look, it comes down to making the most of what you got, and it's going to be up to Kirby Smart to figure it out. I mean, look, you got what you got, and if you got to bring an extra guy to put the quarterback down, that's what you got to do. Otherwise, you're going to die slow death, and that's pretty much what happened against Tennessee. That quarterback lit him up. I mean, 371 yards and four touchdowns, that's not going to feed the Bulldog this season.
What's this game mean for Kirby? You know, Mike, we were discussing this, his 1-6 record. You know, when you talk about Alabama, obviously that was more Nick Saban than obviously Kalen DeBoer, but it is what it is. You had the game last year, right, at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Well, what's the game mean for him when you talk about the program obviously wants to win and you want to win just because you've got this incredible home win streak going. But for Kirby, doesn't it mean a little something else too?
Yeah, probably about as much as the win over Georgia would have meant for Josh Heupel, who's 0-5 against Georgia now, but hasn't lost to another team in 26 home games other than Georgia three times. I mean, sometimes coaches have your number. You can't explain it. I mean, you know, Heupel's won 2 out of 3 against Alabama, but, you know, it just like you look at Kirby and 1-6, and you look at the circumstances and national championship game, you know, a safety blows an assignment, and, you know, Jake Fromm would have been a true freshman that led his team to a national. He did everything he was supposed to do, you know, but instead he's Jake Fromm SEC champion. Now Jake Fromm, freshman, led his team to a national championship, and you think about the plays and how close the games were, and, you know, for whatever reason, the ball just didn't bounce George's way sometimes, you know, key injuries at times. You know, I think in the long run, those things even themselves out. But to your point, it means a lot to Kirby's legacy. I mean, the guy's got 19 losses in his career in 10 years, and six of them are to Alabama. You know, it also means something for Sanford Stadium. They've won 33 in a row there. You know, Kirby's 17-0 in night games at Sanford Stadium. You know, so there's a legacy value for Kirby Smart. I mean, there's a lot on the line for both. I mean, if Kalen DeBoer loses his game, is he coach next year? Because if Bama's got two losses this early in the year,
right,
one more loss probably knocks him out. And if DeBoer misses the playoffs 2 years in a row, you know, is he coming back to third year? I don't think so. I think there'd be a mutual parting of the ways. You know, we'll let you out of your buyout. You know, you don't charge us the buyout and go, you know, back to the West Coast and a place where your family can sleep at night, you know, without people being pissed off you're not winning enough games. But small town like Tuscaloosa. So there's right. a lot at stake for both of these programs, both these coaches.
Right. Where else in the SEC could you get Auburn losing to Oklahoma? Now you're going to play Texas A&M. You know, we always thought it matters. It just means more in the SEC.
Yeah.
Mike Griffith from the AJC from Dog Nation joins us. LSU plays Ole Miss. Is there a team in the SEC you feel like, wow, they really are better than Georgia right now? Or is Georgia still the bell cow?
You know, I think it's all marginal. I mean, guys, I played this game a little bit earlier. And, you know, I don't know, make-believe games are kind of hard to do over the phone. But if we closed our eyes and just pretended that football through 2023 didn't exist in college football, and we were just evaluating college football from 2024 on, we wouldn't have these expectations. I mean, look at Georgia. I mean, three of their last six wins, guys, have been in walk-off fashion.
It's true.
Like, they won on the last play of the game, running the ball in the end zone. Three of the last six. Kirby Smart's built a championship program. There's no doubt. And Georgia's considered, you know, he's considered the best coach. But this looks a lot more like the NFL than college football as we knew it before 2024. The parity is unbelievable. I think Brent Venable said it last week on the SEC coaches call. This is a one-possession league. And there's a blowout here and there, but for the most part, you just said it. Auburn and Oklahoma were separated by mere points. Now Auburn and Texas A&M, I think, what's the spread? Like 6 or 7 tops? LSU Ole Miss is like 1.5. Like, I don't – play those games 10 times and one team wins 5, one team wins 5. Maybe A&M's got a little more of an edge, you know. I think they're maybe a little better than people think. You know, they beat Notre Dame on the road. Hey, Notre Dame's coming down to Arkansas. Let's tune in there. I mean, right. Notre Dame could have three losses. I mean, they got two losses. They're still in the top 25. Yes, well, you know, Notre Dame's still for you there. But, you know, Sam Pittman, could he be coaching for his job? I mean, this is the kind of marquee win he needs to get. And meanwhile, somewhere, Texas is kicking back, having a cold one. Because they've got a nice schedule that gives them, you know, some puffy team. They go to Florida. But, you know, if you want to look at the team in the catbird seat, it's Texas. Because their schedule is friendly. And they only play two teams that had a winning record in the SEC last year. And that's Texas A&M and Georgia. And they have a bye week before they play Georgia. Georgia, meanwhile, has got planes, trains, and automobiles to Starkville. Not a fun road trip. So, you know, Texas has got the schedule. Texas has got a great defense. We need to see if Arch Manning comes to fruition. We know he struggled early, pretty well documented. But to me, that may not be the best team, but because of their schedule, that might be the best bet to win the SEC. Mm.
Well, four is going to upset them anyway.
Don't say that.
You know what? Ole Miss went into Florida last year thinking they were going to the – remember, for all the Florida fans – Florida wanted Lane Kiffin to be the head coach. We got to have – and then Billy Napier beats Lane Kiffin. We're going, okay, up is down, down is up. What just happened?
Mike, I agree with you. We got to run, but I totally agree with you where we are in college football. I just don't think fans maybe understand that parity thing and how real it is. And here's the deal about Georgia, too. Because they won back-to-back natties, you still got a lot of dog fans living off of that dominance. And you're right. If you just erase that and said, I'm looking at these teams right now, I've been saying this. I don't know who the dominant team in college football is right now. I think there's a lot of really good teams. I don't know if there's one just dominant team like Georgia was in 21-22. All right, man, we got to run. Great stuff, Mike Griffin.
Yeah, man.
We appreciate you, man, as always.
All right. It changes week to week. Let's see what happens Saturday night in Athens. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Mike, Grindhouse tomorrow. Carl, yeah. Buying shots.
I'll be there. You hope you show up, Mike. All right, man. Mike Griffin, right. Dog Nation.
Hey, guys.
Hanging out with us. We are at Loyal Tavern in Roswell. We got to come back.
Look at this crowd, Carl. Look at this crowd.
Everybody having a good time? Everybody's having a good time. All
right. Carl, it's like, can they rename Roswell as Cougar City?
I'm sorry?
What?
We're coming back. It's Dukes and...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hanging out in Roswell Loyal Tavern. It's been an awesome day. And look, tomorrow we're going to be out in Athens. If you're in the area, maybe you're heading to the game on Saturday, maybe you're staying in Athens, come through. We'll be at one of our favorite spots. Johnny, big shout out to our man Johnny, Grindhouse Killer Burgers. And not only the food's good, they got great shakes and drinks and
The frozen Jack and Cokes.
Oh, it's delicious. So come out. We'll be there hanging out and talking a lot about the Dogs and Bama and obviously getting ready for the weekend. We will continue to focus on, listen, the Falcons and this story that is developing. It's a developing story to find out whether this team is going to step up and respond. And it's funny. I had a young man come up to me. He's a Roswell student, and he's a junior. And he was like, Mr. Dukes. I listen to you guys every day, and we started talking, and he said, look, do you think they're going to win on Sunday? I've been saying this all week. I feel like they're going to respond. That right. doesn't mean that they play perfect. That doesn't mean we score 8 touchdowns. But after last week, I just want you to think about if you've ever been embarrassed in your life. You don't come back if you've played any kind of competitive sports and not show up.
Right.
And so they're going to show up Sunday.
Angry.
But do they execute? Does the offense click? Does it work, Mike, like it should? That's the thing for me. So I have confidence that we'll be in the game. And look, Marcus Mariota, again, Mike said it looks like he's going to be the starter. At this point, man, I don't care. Does that really matter how you go out and play this game?
No. Our defense has not been the problem. Our least of our problems. Now, granted, you would have liked a little bit more in Carolina. But, again, when your quarterback throws a pick six and he throws another interception and they're set up in the red zone, there's only so much your defense is expected to do. But you got to execute. There's a lot of pressure on Zach Robinson. I got to be honest, Carl. I did not like anything I heard in the press conference. I thought it was a lot of equivocating. I thought it was a lot of, we're doing – like the way they laugh, literally laugh. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
And Ra had the same reaction. We ask about the pistol, and they roll their eyes. Well, I'm sorry. I know that he played in the offense in college. Maybe you should – take your running game, put your quarterback under center, and maximize the run game by some play action. And that maybe that opens up some of the things you're trying to do in the passing game. I know we in the media, we never played the game like Ryan Clark would like us to, but sometimes the media is right, and that's why this team has never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's why this team, year after year after year, has no kicker, has a quarterback that is struggling and needs some help from his OC, and they decide to fire the wide receiver coach. And that's why fans go, I don't believe in this team. And I want to. Look, Carl, you know, you and I have season tickets. I'm never going to quit on this team. I'm going to be there on Sunday. But, man, they make it hard sometimes.
That they do. Last week was hard. For Falcon fans, by the way, I hadn't even addressed this. For Falcon fans who made the trip, sorry. Because we were even talking about it. Day-Day and I, we were having this conversation about, let's go to Carolina, easy trip. We'll get, you know, $5 tickets because their fans don't care. We'll roll in there. We'll win the game. We'll celebrate downtown. We'll show up. So glad we did. So I know Falcon fans who went.
Right.
And I got texts from people like, yo, Dukes, we're here, and this sucks.
And they're hot. I'm sorry I was off Monday.
It is.
I was with you, brother. We're in the same boat on that.
So, but here's the thing. They got a chance to win us back, certainly, and show us that they can show up on Sunday. So we'll get deeper into this tomorrow. We'll talk about specifics. Because here's the deal with the Commanders. We know what kind of to expect, whether it's Mariota or if it's Jaden Daniels. But we know this team. And here's the thing. You don't think Dan Quinn knows Ra? Ra knows Dan Quinn. Defensively, these schemes are very similar. Now, Ra and Jeff Ulbrich have changed a little bit of what they used to do with Dan. When you talk about cover three, we're playing a lot more man, a lot more zone and different zone type things. But, Mike, at the end of the day, they know what they want to do. It's just going to come down to who wants to do it and who enforces their will. I think it's going to be a really interesting game, though, on Sunday. Hey, man, before we get out of here, I got to give a shout-out to all the folks who came out today. Thank you guys for coming out. Give yourself a round of applause because you guys are amazing. I know people have come in and out. A lot of you guys have hung out. I will tell our sales staff and John Parler, are you listening, John Parler? We got to come back. We got to be back out here in my backyard, man. This is awesome, all right? Lots of folks out here hanging out, so we appreciate it.
You got an easy ride, Joe.
This is true. That's why I want it. But thank you guys for coming out and hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. With that said, tonight, Mike, we got the Thursday night football game. Turtles got a bridge show before the pregame. And, look, we talked a little bit about it earlier. It kicks off the NFL weekend. Seattle at the Cardinals tonight.
Yes. You buy Kyler Murray? Marvin Harrison Jr. dropped so many passes.
He did.
I didn't touch him this year in fantasy.
I was going to say, you don't have him on your fantasy team.
I got so much aggravation last year. But Marvin Harrison Jr. dropping a lot of passes. Big redemption game for him. Quick turnaround. Seattle with Sam Darnold. I kind of like Seattle. It's also, what's the spread right now?
1.5.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle. Pick it. But I think Seattle and the over.
Yeah, look. San Francisco's 3-0. They got a bunch of injuries. When those guys get back, San Francisco's going to be a problem. The Rams should be 3-0. They blew it last week. Eagles right. Block a field goal into the game. They run it in. They're 2-1. Those are two best teams in the West. I'm talking about the AFC or NFC West. These are the other two, Mike, where you kind of feel like, where are they going to fill in? Where are the Cardinals? Where is Seattle? But I hope we get a good game. It's Thursday night, but I like Seattle as well on the road.
It's funny. One of my neighbors, where I live on the south side, is a former Delta mechanic, started at Southwest,
yeah.
So grew up in Phoenix. So he's a Cardinals fan. And we were both lamenting, outside of 285, or a little bit outside, we're in Roswell. Most people, you know what? They don't think about us.
They don't think about the Cardinals. Oh, no.
They don't think about us or the Cardinals because we're kind of a joke. We can change that on Sunday, and we can turn things around and be at 2-2, which I think a lot of Falcon fans kind of expected at 500. But to your question, the Cardinals are one of those teams you just never expect to ever do anything.
Yeah.
The year they went and played the Steelers in the Super Bowl, like that, like us with 28-3, that was their moment.
You know what's funny? And I forgot. Calais Campbell's with the Cardinals. He was here. He was great. They wanted to get younger, and so they let Calais Campbell move on. He was in Miami last year, but he's with the Cardinals. He's already had some impact moments.
He's an OG, brother. That guy can play at least 50.
Yeah, no doubt. And then they also signed Josh Sweat in the offseason. Their defense is halfway decent, man. I think they're fifth in the league or so, sixth in the league.
You like the Cardinals tonight?
No, I'm just saying. It'll probably be a lower-scoring game, but I do like Seattle. All right, man. We got to get out of here and make way. Turtles got the bridge show. Big shout-out to Gordon G. Money, our on-site engineer, Day-Day, our executive producer. One more time, give yourself a round of applause, everybody. Appreciate you guys coming out and hanging out with us here on Dukes and Bell. All right, back in the studio, Big O. Let's get out of here, man. Let's clear our throat. Incredible conversation with David Pollack. If you missed it, go online at odyssey.com. Hear what he had to say about the Dogs, his concerns about what he thinks may play out in this game. Also, Mike, Barbara Dooley, she always delivers.
She never disappoints, guys. Rewind at odyssey.com. Hear what Barbara Dooley had to say about Bear Bryant and their interactions and what she thinks about this weekend against Alabama.
Yeah, good stuff from her. Mike Griffith, a big shout-out to him from Dog Nation. Hey, tomorrow, guys, we go behind enemy lines. What are the Commanders thinking about the Falcons, what they have to do? We'll find out. Also, Steve Coonan's going to join us on a Friday.
Yes, I will.
Yes, and we'll be live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens right there off of Lumpkin. So, again, come through if you have a chance. All right, Mike, we got to get out of the way, man. Thanks to everybody here at Loyal Tavern, management, all the bartenders, everybody. Thank you, guys. Great job
for
everybody.
And Shelby, it's like Rob Room, and I see Tina.
Mike Vail, clear, throw.
Hey, man. Brave season's wrapping up. We're not going to see Skeens. He just played last night for the Pirates. But they get a chance to get close to 500. Didn't get there, Carl. A lot of injuries, unprecedented injuries in the starting rotation. But did they have enough starting pitching to start with? This is a year where the Braves organization is going to signal to their fan base, who raised prices on a lot of ticket holders. Are you going to be in the game to win the World Series? Are you going to spend some money? Are we going to prime the pump to get a couple more starters? I say, Carl, we need two starting pitchers. We're going to upgrade. Maybe the shortstop is here. Maybe the second baseman is not here, Albies. But Braves, you're missing the window. You really got to show the Braves fans this offseason. Show you care. Spend some loot.
The one thing that brings us all together is sports. We all have differences, different opinions, different things we believe in. But tomorrow it is USA.
USA!
USA! Ryder Cup starts tomorrow, baby. We got to deliver. We're on our home turf. Black Page, Beth Black Page, Mike, or Black Page
Beth?
Beth
Page Black.
I tell you what, man. I hope the Europeans leave on Sunday on that plane. They're distraught. They're mad. And we are holding the trophy. I don't care if you don't like golf. Get behind it. It's USA. It's us versus them. It should be fun. But it is about us. Hey, man, if you love the show.
Hey, man, tell your friends.
If you don't.
Yo, man, I was out of football on three letters. D-V-R.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.